Coming up, I'm going to tell you the fastest way to get a job in this new economy. And then Amazon layoffs, we'll break those down. And then a leaked memo from Amazon about how they're pushing recruiters out and how disastrous I think that is. Helping you make more money and experience more meaning. Work doesn't have to be a four-letter word. I want you to make more income and make more impact. Let's go. So what's the fastest way to get a job in the new economy? What is the new economy? Well, it's just simply this very interesting world in which we live, where you've got the gig economy, right? Everybody with the side hustles, all the multiple options, whether it's driving for Uber or Lyft or delivering food. There's just so many ways to get extra money. Then there is the work from home, remote only. Then there's the hybrid model, some at home, some at the office. And then the fact that we are entering into a potential recession being predicted by many, many economists on both sides of the aisle. We'll see if it happens. We have the Fed with our feckless Fed chair, Jerome Powell. God bless him. He's completely clueless and he's trying to hurt the job market. He's trying to suppress employment and it's not working, by the way, which, by the way, I said that on this program. I did. I've said many times. You know what, Alex? I don't know if you're going to want to do this or if we have time, but here's an idea. We should pull all of the clips where I said that raising interest rates would not work in depressing the job economy. And maybe we just put a little reel together. But anyway, I digress. I was right. Jerome is wrong. And so this is the new economy that we're talking about. Job market still hot. 4 million people quit their jobs in October, continuing the great resignation. The big merry-go-round, it's happening. So this is the new economy that we talk of. All right, now, how do you get a job in the new economy? Because it's still competitive and it's a little bit more intense than what we've known in previous job economies or in previous environments, okay? First, there's too many hacks out there. Beware of hacks. Now, I used to work in politics, and so the phrase or the word hack referred to a person, a political hack. This is not a person per se, although we have people, hacks, promoting hacks. So beware of the hacks, right? I'll use the old political version of it. If you got a bunch of hacks out there giving you hacks, what are we talking about? Well, the idea of how do we circumvent the process? And I'm all for life hacks. I give life hacks on the show. A lot of people think I'm a hack. You know, hey, what the heck? What the heck? I'm a hack. All right. By the way, I just accidentally went into character of Alf from the famous sitcom of the 80s or 90s. Remember that? Alf? Yes, you do. All right. So let me give you an example of some of the things that people are doing. And this is a hack, and I think you got to be wary of this kind of stuff, trying to game the system. All right? This is a real example. So, Alex, I don't know if you've heard of this, but people are copying and pasting the description of the job you're applying for onto the bottom of your resume. But what they do is they shrink it down to this itsy-bitsy, eensy-weensy, teensy-weensy font, and then they make it white. So essentially, it's on the document, but you can't see it, okay? And so what's the point of this hack? The idea is it optimizes your resume so the applicant tracking system can find it better, okay? But why don't you just take phrases from the job description and put it in actual content on the resume? Now, I bring up this hack because I'm not against this hack at all. Fine, do it. It's not hurting anything. They can't see it. It's actually kind of innovative. I mean, I like it. But here's my point in pointing this out. That's not going to win you the job. That hack alone is not going to win you the job. And so if you're just constantly trying to game the system and you forget that, wait a second, the best way to win a job or the best hack for getting a job in any job economy, no matter whether it's good, bad, crazy, or whatever, is to understand it's about connections. The right people plus the right places is the formula for bringing you opportunity. When I'm around the right people in the right places, opportunities present themselves to me. It's true of you. When you put yourself around the right people and in the right places, and you're talking about getting a job, and the narrative is clear, opportunities present themselves to you. I cannot guarantee the timing, but I can guarantee the outcome. And the outcome will be that opportunities will show up and knock on your door. Opportunities move at the speed of connection. Okay, I just want that to sit. Opportunities for you, opportunities for me, move at the speed of connection. Now, what I don't want you to hear in that statement is that it's about frenetic machine gun style of firing. Yeah, it's not that. Okay? But the more that I am connecting, and we're talking about two key words describing more. Okay? So it is a higher volume than normal, and it is consistent. But it's not machine gun, but it's like, okay, what are the max... What's the max number of connections I can make in a day and in a week and in a month to where they're real connections? In other words, meaningful conversations. Okay. Not sending 50 messages on LinkedIn. That's the machine gun. I'm going to send a bunch of messages on Facebook and LinkedIn and boy, I'm going to sit back and just wait for the cows to come home. Well, I got to tell you something. That rarely works. Real connections deliver real opportunities. So I can say, all right, I can make, and I'm making this up, one legit connection a day or three in a week, which means in a month I can make 12. Getting really, really intentional about how many connections you can really make, that's going to lead to opportunities. Let me tell you what happens when we do this. We see things in the hidden job market. We covered this on the show recently. What is the hidden job market? These are roles that are filled by internal candidates or referrals. So the company needs to fill the position, but they're not posting the position. It's estimated that 70% of jobs are never posted publicly. So this is probably a big headline for some of you. This is breaking news. I need some breaking news music. 70% of jobs are never posted publicly. So essentially, the only way you would know about those jobs is through real connections. Then the non-existent job market. How about the fact that when I make real connections and I keep making them and I get myself in an opportunity where I'm talking to somebody and they go, so tell me what it is you want to do. Your friend Roger told me to talk to you. And I'm like, what do you want to do? What's your experience? You start talking to them. They go, okay, I tell you what. And by the way, this has happened to my wife multiple times. My wife, Stacy, the queen of the non-existent job. She starts talking to people and they create a job for her. In fact, she's had this happen to her three or four times. And you know, she just got another one offered to her. She turned it down. She's just talking to people. They go, hey, would you like to talk some more? She goes, sure. They create a job for her. Why? Real connection, real opportunity. So there you go. That's how you find a way. That's the best way to find a job in this new economy. All right, coming up next, we're going to pick on Amazon some more. Helping you get unstuck and become unstoppable. I'm Ken, your coach, your counselor, your cheerleader. This is the Ken Coleman Show. My whole goal for you is more income, baby, and a whole lot more influence. Influencing results that you care about. Is this possible? Is this a fantasy? It's not. It's real. Now, I will tell you that this is the part of the show where I am a man of the people, and this is where I display my undying love, loyalty for the people. Now, what am I talking about? Well, you see a lot of news, a lot of headlines all the time, and you could go to any amount of networks, and you can get a bunch of, it's kind of a cornucopia, if you will, of news. You know what you get here on this show? You get news that relates directly to you and your work. Meaning, I want to get ahead. I want to win. I want to know when I need to survive. I need to know how to thrive. And I give you news that matters to you. And I give you a voice. And this is what we're going to do here. Which means I'm going to call out bad bossery, lazy leadership, I need some more of those. I'm going to work on that. It's going to be fun. Here we go. First story. Amazon layoffs now expected to mount to 20,000, including top managers. Now listen, you hear a number like 20,000, and you got to understand, in the grand scheme of what Amazon's doing, 20,000 is not a huge number. But I think there's a bigger issue going on with Amazon, and I think this is tip of the iceberg. By the way, I report what it needs to be reported. I am not anti-Amazon. I'm a Prime member. I love it. But I think they're horrible when it comes to treating people the right way. They just are. And more on this now. So in multiple locations and departments, Amazon's going to be laying people off all levels. Company managers over the last few days, however, have been told that they should try to identify work performance problems among employees as part of an effort to lay off the 20,000 people. 20,000 employees are the equivalent of about 6% of Amazon's corporate staff and about 1.3% of Amazon's total 1.5 million workers. The CEO is a guy by the name of Jassy. It's his last name. Is he classy Jassy? Is he sassy Jassy? I don't know. But we'll call him by his last name because I like saying it. Jassy, Amazon CEO, elaborated on the layoffs this Wednesday during an interview with the New York Times. He said, "We felt like we needed to streamline our costs." Oh, did you? Okay. He goes on to give context here that their retail business grew quickly during the early days of the pandemic, of course, because everybody was at home ordering off of Amazon. There are rumors that Joe ordered ice cream. I don't know if that could be verified, nor could it be delivered, but there were rumors. His direct quote on this expansion during the pandemic was, "It forced us to make decisions at that time to spend a lot more money and to go much faster in building the infrastructure than we ever imagined we would," which is corporate gobbledygook for we staffed up big time. Again, great. Companies have to do that. That's a good problem to have. He said, "We knew we might be overbuilding." Okay. Again, no problem there. All right. So when we look at layoffs, like 20,000 from Amazon, I think you have to be careful to not go, "Oh, no," because here's what's going to happen. My friends at Fox Business, Fox News, CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, Newsmax, y'all, your local TV people, they're going to take headlines like this. And they're going to go, "Looming layoffs at Amazon. If Amazon is laying off 20,000 people, how bad of a blank show is it going to be for the rest of us in 2023? That's essentially what the tenor will be. Wait a second. Let's look to the story. During the pandemic, everybody went home and everybody bought online. So Amazon's numbers ballooned, the demand ballooned, and so they had to bring in people. Okay? Laying off 20,000 people as consumer spending habits slow is not a news story. It's just not. And I want to make sure you understand. I'm trying to bring common sense. Wait a second. The sky is not falling. The job market's still very healthy. Unemployment at 3.7%. Jerome Powell is trying to drive unemployment up with his interest rate hikes. It's not working. Go look at the jobs report from October. I think you have to take a wait-and-see attitude, and I'm going to continue to inform you and equip you on how to be recession-proof. That's what this show does. But just understand, this is not the end of the world because Amazon's laying off 20,000 people. The bigger issue is how many people are quitting Amazon, and thus our next story. That, my friends, is called a segue. A leaked memo from Amazon may help explain why the tech giant is pushing out so many recruiters. Last week, Amazon extended buyout offers to hundreds of its recruiters as part of what is expected to be a months-long cycle of layoffs that has left corporate employees across the company angered and on edge. There's an internal document that has leaked. This is a Vox.com article. Recode, whatever that is, has viewed said document. All right. And it is all about the new artificial intelligence technology that Amazon has been testing starting last year. For a year, they have been working on replacing human recruiters. Okay. Human recruiters. They've been trying to replace them. All right. And they've been trying to do it with a artificial intelligence software. Okay. To cut costs and try to be efficient. The technology, okay, known internally as Automated Applicant Evaluation, or AAE, was built by a group of Amazon's HR division known as Artificial Intelligence Recruitment Team and was first tested last year. Now, this is the second go-round for Amazon on artificial intelligence replacing human recruiters. Folks, I'm going somewhere with this, and I think you're going to like it. But let's go back into the history books. Is this the first time that Amazon has tried to do this? The answer is no. And it didn't go well. In 2010, they tried this. And they discontinued the use of the system after, wait for it, it demonstrated a bias against women. Huh, no! Your super smart computers discriminated against women. Gee, I wonder how that happened. I don't understand. You're telling me that a computer with software somehow couldn't tell the difference between a woman and a man, and the results kept coming out negative towards women? Gee, I wonder how that happened. Now, they're bringing it back. Amazon has, well, wait a second. I got to make a point here before I go on to more of Amazon's automation, because this is relevant. You know what algorithms don't do? Though Amazon loves their algorithms. You know what algorithms don't do? They don't connect with humans. See, the algorithm doesn't have a soul. It's all science. You know what science doesn't have? A soul. You know what algorithms don't do? Algorithms don't hear stories from real people. You know what else algorithms don't do? Algorithms can't feel anything. And I don't believe, even though some will say, that algorithms and artificial intelligence can read body language, I don't believe they can read it well. Algorithms will never replace human connection. This is where Amazon is losing, and losing big. Helping you make more money and experience more meaning, helping you beat the competition, even if it's just beating the you of yesterday. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, if you like the show, if it's encouraging you, entertaining you in any way, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, and would you share? A review and a share is what I'm asking for. You're the greatest marketing tool anybody has. I know that. You know that. Would you do that? I'd be grateful. Pedro is up in Edmond, Oklahoma. Pedro, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken. Thank you for having me today. I hope all is well.
All is well. It's so good, it scares me.
Oh, man. Well, all is well for me as well, but I'm heading into scary territory. I'm transitioning from the military. I've been medically discharged. I've been doing something I love and enjoy, but the Air Force has said I'm too broke to keep doing it.
Whoa. Can you tell me more? What does that mean?
It's more for in connected with military service itself. Long story short, I got a neurostimulator in my back, and that just doesn't it makes me non-deployable for military service, if that makes sense.
Okay, when you said I'm too broke, I thought you were saying they said you were too broke financially. You mean physically?
Yeah, physically. Well, that's falling apart.
No, I get it, bro. All right, but at least I understand now what we're talking about, because I was like, I've never heard that before. So, okay, that makes sense. So you've medically retired. Is that correct? That's already happened?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so how can I specifically help you?
So I took your assessment, and while my talents and my mission really hit the spot, it seems like the passions are not really in line with what I want to do.
Okay, tell me what the results were. Tell me the passion.
All right.
And let me get the audience caught up, because we have new people all the time. The Get Clear assessment measures talent, what you do best, passion, work that you love, and then mission, results that motivate you. And so Pedro is saying, man, the results didn't line up for me like what I want to do. And we have one-word descriptors of work that you love. So what were your three, your top three passions?
All right. Would you prefer my purpose statement?
No, not yet. I want to know the top three passions.
Okay. Advising, researching, and protecting.
Advising, researching, and protecting. Now, you have your results in front of you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I want you to go to the page in the passion section that will also show you any passion that scored above average. You know what I'm talking about? It'll show you your top three, then it shows you anything above average, then we show you below average results. I want to know what your above average results were, other passions that were identified.
Analyzing, leading, finishing, planning,
okay,
solving.
Wow, you had a lot above the line.
Okay. Advocating, promoting, creating, and making.
All of those were above average?
Yes, sir.
So do you have any below average?
Teaching, caregiving, and performing, which
boom
kind of goes with
what do you want to do
for my talent?
Good. So what do you want to do? So the way you present it is, Ken, my passions seem a little bit off from what I want to do. So I want to know what you want to do.
I'm a peacock. I want to fly, Ken.
What does that mean?
I want to be a pilot.
Okay. Okay. Corporate or commercial?
I think either or. I would enjoy it and love it very much.
Why
it's
do you?
What I did in the military.
Okay, so why do you love flying?
It's one of those things where not so many people can do, and it is so complex, knowing all the systems and then all the regulations and all the communication that's involved around just getting the simple task of putting a plane in the air and landing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what were your top talents?
Instruction, standby, instruction, execution, and justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what you've got is a combination in the assessment that tells you obviously what you do well, what you enjoy doing, and then results that motivate you. What was your missional result, your top missional, the thing that motivates you most, the results that motivate you most?
Achievement.
Uh-huh. See, I don't know that I'm getting the whole story from you, because I think you answered those questions honestly on the assessment, true or false?
True.
Yeah. And you want to fly, and so you immediately go, no, wait a second. I picked a very specific career, a very specific thing that I want to do, which is flying. And Ken didn't have that in the assessment. Well, no assessment can give you that. It's impossible. But if we look at what you love about flying, there was the researching and the protecting. And when you look at protecting, protecting isn't a literal usage here, right? And I think that as a pilot, you've got cargo, true or false?
True.
And a successful flight for you when you're done involves what?
Safety, delivering either people or cargo safely to their destination.
Interesting. Now, let me just pull out my assessment, folks, and let's get to the glossary. Okay? And let's just read how I describe the passion of protecting. You're passionate about defending the vulnerable and shielding people from danger. Your deep desire is to make sure the people, things, or causes you care about are safe and protected. Sound like you?
I think you hit it there on the mark there.
Yeah, and I was only two sentences in. I'll stop there while I'm ahead. So in the assessment, all I can do are give themes. That's all I can do is give you themes. And then you say, wait a second, is being a pilot flying a plane, is it on mission for me? And it absolutely is for you. Now, the question is, with your physical challenges, are you able to fly?
So, yes, that was the very first thing I did the day I got discharged is I went to the FAA, and on the civilian side, I got myself a flight physical, which I passed. The only problem is now is for me to get qualified civilian-wise, and that's going to cost quite a bit of change and money and
will your time. Military service pay for your training?
No, not all of it, not necessarily.
Well, what do you mean not all of it, not necessarily? How much will it cover?
They will cover maybe about $15,000 in this $75,000 to $85,000 training cost.
Okay, so how long will it take you to save up the additional, let's call it $60,000 to $70,000?
Well, that's the thing, finding the day job now that's gonna allow me to get to that point B.
Okay, so how much money would you need to make? Do you have any military benefits?
I do have some.
Okay, so my point is this becomes a math equation.
Okay.
Okay? And this is a very simple exercise. Don't overthink this. We know you want to be a pilot, and we know what you have to do to become a pilot. So now we need a day job. And we need a day job that makes us X amount of dollars. And the X amount of dollars that we're shooting for, and maybe we have to have two jobs, but then we've got physical limitations. So we start with what can I physically do because you have a legitimate injury, okay? Mm-hmm. So what can I physically do? And then based on what I can physically do, I'm matching up with skills and experience I bring from the military because you have a lot of those. And then we say, okay, what's the most amount of money I can make? Because we don't care about this being a dream job. And it doesn't even have to be sweet spot. It can be talent only. Why? Because I'm trying to make the most money as quick as possible to save up so that I can then get qualified and then transition to flying. And you can do this. It might be 2 to 3 years, might be 2 years. But how much stuff can you sell? How many jobs can you work? Bottom line, you got to put a number out there and go, it's 70,000, it's 80,000. I got to get there. What is it going to take for me to save up that kind of money? And it will create super laser focus for you, and you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice time. You're going to have to sacrifice some luxuries. You're going to have to sacrifice some friend time. You're going to have to sacrifice the human desire to get everything right now. You have to be patient. But Pedro, this can be done. You can do this. And I'm expecting you to do it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.